Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Portable Magic Dispensary podcast for your school library, public library. Today, I'm going to talk about a few things that hopefully will help you with running maybe your own escape room or even a simple code-breaking type activity. My colleague in the library, she has made it a pretty cool escape room, and I'm just going to try to break down some of the riddles and things that she's made for the students, and they absolutely love it. We run it with ages 11, 12, and 13. We've been doing it for a long time this year, so since the first week of September, well, second week, I guess. And a lot of students have done it. We have small prizes inside the box, so they have to break into a box, quote-unquote, by opening riddles, locks, and things, or opening locks that on like a little treasure chest. Inside are some friendship bracelets that my colleague and the student library assistants have made, plus some bookmarks that we've made out of discarded, destroyed manga books. So there are a few riddles that I'm just going to go through them because there's many things they can do at once. And what I'll do is just break it down piece by piece as best I can. They're all over the place, so I don't want to. There isn't like you have to do this and this and this. There are, but it's you can solve different aspects of it at different times. Hopefully that makes sense. I'll break it down into the sections that I think are the most useful, and hopefully that will be that will help you. So how do I describe it? So the first thing they might get is a clue about one of our book award books, and one of those books is Wink by Rob Harrell. How they get that clue is that they open up a box. Now, how do they get the box? They have to take, so we have information on our Lego club. So they're given a piece of paper or a poster, and it says in English, Lego Club is on Friday. And above that are a series of Lego pieces. Not real pieces, but like a photo of Lego pieces, you know, looking down at them. Each Lego piece in each color, I should say, represents the letter. So Lego Club is on Friday. They're also then given another sheet that shows, it just has Lego pieces. What they have to put together is that each piece on the poster represents an L, an E, and so on. So they're able to then, so it has like a big long sentence and different things about the Lego Club in the library. From that, they're able to just discern that they need to look in the horror section. Looking in the horror section, they find a box, they open the box. Hope that makes sense. Inside the box are popsicle sticks, a whole series of them. What my colleague has done is drawn the cover of Wink by Rob Harrell, which is an amazing book, on the popsicle sticks. So they have to put them together. That in itself is a puzzle. Okay. with the popsicle sticks is a laminated piece of paper. It has a number on it that might say 182, and a little hole cut out of the piece of paper, of the laminated piece of paper. So once they put the popsicle sticks together, they realize that they need to find that book. We are walking around giving them hints and clues, of course. And before we start, I have told them that the books are alphabetical by the author's last name. So they put the popsicle sticks together. They see Wink. They run and get Wink. They've also got this piece of paper that was in the box, this laminated piece of paper. It has 182. If they need some encouragement, we tell them, but it's like, okay, we need to go to page 182. They put the piece of paper over the page number. The hole has the word, would be over the word freak or whatever. There's like, there's just a word in the thing. They realize that freak might be the clue for one of the locks. So one of the padlocks on the chest now they've got one of the locks open, and that's always a big deal. It's really a lot of fun. The other thing that my colleague does is she hides a message in a big labyrinth, like in a maze, then fills up the rest of the maze with more letters. So the solution, as they draw their line through the maze, they pass by letters that she's written in. The message that they realize that they have to write down as they go along is there is a box hidden behind the magazine display. But there's more letters than that. So if they go on the wrong trail, they're going to get more letters, etc. They need to be able to write on that, so they just go through. They then find the box in the magazine display, and that box again has another set of popsicle sticks. This one, ours, has Sticks and Stones by Abby Cooper, which is a great book. The box itself also has like a little light where they can light up invisible ink. This makes it quite difficult, but there's a piece of laminated paper that has an invisible message on it. UV lights are quite small, so you might want to get a couple. You could write on them. This is just our way. You can do whatever you want. You know, also, we sometimes just hide stuff in the library, and you got to remember where it is, and it might just be a way to make it fun. They have to find it. The blank page with the hole in the letters, I've talked about that. We've done pig pen ciphers, so it's basically, if you Google it, it's pretty straightforward. It's so if you Google it, you'll see that a pig pen cipher has like ABC all the way to Z, all the letters, but the letters are separated by lines. So the A, for instance, represents a line, an intersecting line with the vertical line on the right. It's hard to explain on a podcast, but if you give them blank lines, you'll see that they can somehow, eventually they'll work it out which one is which. It is pretty tricky, they can, you know, they'll eventually work it out. We also have a puzzle box, which you can find online for quite cheap. I mean, it just looks like a wooden solid piece of wood, but if they press on one of the pieces, like one of the little slats, it'll open up, and they love that one. They love working that out. The other one is that some of the keys for the chest are attached to a book. She puts the key on the string and attaches the other end to a book or a hide and seek object. You can slide the key behind the shelves or behind a cupboard. Then when they find the book or the object, they pull the string to retrieve the hidden key. We have hidden messages around the library written on written on the windows, that it might just be like, one of them is, seek the exit of the library or something. And on the exit, it's written Word Nerd by Susan Nielsen. Great book. They know they have to find Word Nerd. Word Nerd is connected to a piece of string. The other end of the string is a key. One of those keys opens one of the locks. tons and tons of different things. The other tricky one is the book cover stack. It's very difficult to explain with pictures, but they love the moment when they figure out how it works. The riddle is a word. You choose the same number of book covers as there are letters in your word, plus one. So you print out the book covers, make sure they're all exactly the same size, pick out one letter on each book cover to spell out your word. But be careful, because those letters need to be in different places. If you use a letter in the top right corner, you can't use another letter in the top right corner. So you leave the book cover with the first letter untouched. In the book cover with the second letter, you cut a hole through which you can see the first letter, and the second cover is placed on top of the first. It's really tricky to understand. Then in the cover with the third letter, cut out the exact same hole so you still see the first letter. Then make the second hole through which you can see the second letter on the second book cover, and so on. The last book cover will have the same number of holes as there are letters in your word. So it's, that is really, really tricky. But as you stack the book covers on top of each other, you know, the printed off book covers, it makes a word. So there's that one. The Lego code I discussed, that one is a lot of fun. Caesar shift is really easy. Yeah, you basically just shift the alphabet by one letter or more for, you know, A becomes B, B becomes C, or you can do a two-letter shift, on and on. That one isn't too hard. You could do, what have we done?
We'll be back after a quick break.
Up in the castle, evil mischief stirs.
Plan number 42. I shall turn myself into a cat and get adopted by the butcher's daughter so I can learn all her secrets. Then, I will use them to make her fall in love with me. Ah, ah, ah. What do you think, Wilson?
Hey, check out 1v1me DM on all podcast platforms to see more of Dracula's perfect plans at finding true love.
Let me see. So another one that's fun is that you ask questions, and the answers represent math problems. So before I let them run off and do the game, I do a big spiel about the library, how the library works. So I say, you know, the library, we have nine, all the, I will give them the hint, like all these things will be helpful to you in the game. So for instance, we have, you know, we have 5,000 books in the library. the library closes at 5:30 in the evening. We have 6 books in the book award, etc. Eventually, they'll find clues, pieces of paper throughout. However, you want to do it, you could do it with the maze, you could do it with anything. And the question might be, how many books are in the library? Or, you know, multiply how many books are in the library by the time we close in the evening. And the answer might be the answer to one of the locks. My colleague does it quite a lot, you know, longer than that. It might be, it's like the number of books in the library plus the number of book questions in our book weekly book quiz, subtract when we're open, plus when we close, minus how long you can take a book out, which is 2 for 2 weeks, on and on, anything like that. They're really a lot of fun, and you know, easy to do in that way. It's very important that you keep in mind how many people are taking part. If you have a group of 30, by giving them just 2 riddles is not going to work. 15 people working on the same piece of paper is not going to work. And then the opposite is true. So if you give them 20 riddles, a lot of people have to work on their own. You need to have somewhere in the middle. So it's also important to have like sub goals or side goals, like little achievements that get them closer and closer to their main goal, which is opening the treasure chest. You can also bury a clue or a hint in your own library catalog. If you have an online catalog, it's a great way to get them to realize that there is a catalog, especially if they're new students, and navigate it. So there might be a clue hidden on one of the you know, if you made like a fake entry or anything, a clue hidden on like any information you provide in your catalog, which helps them, which is you know, what you could do anything really. There's a million things you could do, but really it's just a way for them to get to know your catalog and understand how to get on there and use it. We also make use of all of our different sections. So we have an origami display that my colleague made hanging from the ceiling to highlight our manga/anime, you know, manga section. And it's like Pikachus and little anime characters. There's a clue they get in one of the boxes that says, find the club or find the material that, I can't remember the exact name, sorry, but it's something like, find the books that originate from Japan that are part of one of our most popular clubs or something like that. And they quickly soon figure out that it's the manga. And they run over to the section, and written on the origami are some, again, some maths problems that they have to solve. They may need a little guidance for that, but it's a lot of fun. They love to run around. She's also put some information on the board where we have all of our upcoming clubs. We want the students to learn that they have to consult those clubs in order to find out what's going on. So there's a lot of hidden things there. So the more maths. There's a piece of paper they receive once they open one of the chests. It talks about, or just in the pack, that talks about the Dungeons and Dragons Club. Seek out the club that has dwarves and elves and monsters and blah blah blah. And they realize they have to go find out more, so that we have a D&D kind of a fake sign up sheet over at the on the board that we put up just for the escape room. And when they walk over there, they see that there's another math problem, a little riddle that they have to solve, which sends them along another kind of goose chase around the library. We've also had a book that was ruined just by overuse and age. It was hauled out. So when they find that book, when they get the clue, you know, this is posted by John David Anderson, which is a great book. They realize that they have to open it. When they open it, it's hollowed out, and inside is one of the UV lights or USB sticks, which is always causes a lot of hurrahs and gasps. So what do we do with this? And they put it in the computer, and they open it up, and there's more clues. Usually those are the ones that are like, what time does the library open, multiplied by how many books we have, etc. And they have to like, oh, this is a clue. They get really worked up, and it's hilarious over that. The jigsaws, I've talked about the popsicle sticks, or just basically a small jigsaw puzzle that they have to put together in order to solve part of it. Those all work really well. What we do as well, what I like to do is we use atomic codes. They're not easy, but if you want to use something that's science-based, it works well. You can use atomic numbers to code a message, and when the numbers are replaced by the chemical symbol of the element, it spells out a word or message. The difficulty is that there's not a lot of flexibility with the letters in the chemical symbol. My colleague's recommendation is that to use a list of elements and their atomic numbers stored in alphabetical order of their chemical symbol. So don't try to use a periodic table, because you'll waste your time. So an example is 53 minus 22 minus 16 minus 102 minus 52 minus 33 minus 39 would mean it is not easy. So it's a list of elements and their atomic numbers are stored in alphabetical of their symbol. So that is tricky, but that's how it works. If you need more information on atomic codes, I'm going to give my colleague's email, because she's asked that anyone can email her at all with any questions, which I wanted to get the word out, because she's put so much work into this. And the blog post I did on this, I'll post, and has got a lot of hits, and I just wanted to make sure her email is there, because she has done a ton of stuff. The other thing is, one of the simple one is first letters. So reading only the first letters of each word may spell out a message. Or you can do odd letters, or a book code. The code uses a book, so make sure you pick a book only one edition of. You'll use the page number, line number, and word number to write a message. For example, 53-4-10 means that the participants have to open the book to page 53, read the fourth line, and count the 10th word. And you can write an entire message like this in groups of three numbers. You can add a fourth number that indicates the letter if you want to make it longer and harder to decipher, or if you can't find the words you need in the book. So she also puts stickers with letters or numbers on building blocks to build something, give indications as to which blocks have the relevant number of letters. The problem is they only get one shot at this, really. If they destroy the whole thing before they retrieve the right block or accidentally grab the wrong one, it's over. But it's a lot of fun because they get to handle the building blocks. But our advice is to build something very simple. That's a tricky one, okay? It's very important that you prepare a little speech for the start of the game. You don't need to make it long, but you want to outline the principles. So what I do is I just say, look, it might be important to write these things down. And I talk about how many books we have on the shelves, when we open, when we close, where you can find information about clubs, also how our books are organized. And you can use straight up riddles that maybe you want them to find, you know, there's riddles from The Hobbit and stuff like that that you could easily use. I talk about all that stuff. I talk about the different sections, especially if it's a group that's new to the school, like year sevens. I'll say, look, our manga section's here, our horror section's here, our war section is here. Where you sign up for clubs in the library, you come down the stairs and the board's on your right. When our manga section is here, this is how you sign up for manga club. This is what we do in manga club. It is an amazing opportunity to explain how the library works, get them excited about using the library, and really just kind of shift perspectives on what a library is, because they're coming in, they have, especially the year sevens, they really don't know what to expect. Word has kind of gotten around now that the escape room's on. We are timing them, but I always tell them, don't worry about your time. It's more about just getting, in the end, everyone gets a bracelet. They are desperate to know their time. They want to compete. They think they're competing against each other to begin with, but of course they're not. They are competing against other classes per se, on the surface, but it's just about having fun. And they get to get up out of their seats, which is something they don't normally do in a lesson. So it's a lot of fun. And the point is to make it, as unique and fun as you want. You don't need to make it. And it can be as simple and easy as you want. One, a trick, maybe a trickier one that they need a hint on is like the pinhole riddle, where you make a poster of, with the message on it, but if they look closely, certain letters have little pinholes, stuck in them. They can see through, and they just have to realize, that letter, the first letter with the first pinhole, is the first letter of a sentence, and so on, and then just randomly chosen. It's again really tricky. Or you could spell a message out with book spines if you feel up to rearranging your books. The first letter of books or the spines or the author's last name, if you have stickers on the side, that's hard. But if you give them a clue somehow that the message is in the author's last name, it's really up to you. You just kind of have to use your space, and that's what we do. We get them to make sure they roam around in little groups, and that's why you need a lot of riddles, not too many, but the right amount for whatever size group you've got. So we've got 30 students in ours, so we try to make it in there working in like groups of three or four, and they kind of immediately do that, and they spread everything out, and they're really good. We had one group do it in 15 minutes, or 14 minutes is our record, and they're absolutely overjoyed at this. So I mean, that's it's there's a ton of different things you can do easily, like connect the dots type thing, where they connect the dots and build a picture that you've made, or a clue that sends them off to another area. Anything that you have in the library, if you have any display space, that's the best thing, because if you have a display space, they can then use that space or you can use the space to create clues and hints. The thing is, you have to be able to set it up over and over and over again, depending how many students you're going to do it with. Or you could do it as a one-off thing, but they are a lot of fun. I hope that was helpful. I'm just trying to break down some of the bigger clues that we use. I'll put the link to the guide that my colleague has written, because I think it deserves a lot of attention, because she's put so much work into it. And the link has her email. And she said she's given me permission to do that. Please let anyone who wants to email me can just ask any questions, because it is hard to describe them. But I really wanted to make sure people were aware of it. So that's it. Thank you very much. I hope you enjoyed that. Have a good day. Bye.